It's time to talk MTCS sports. It's time for Cougar Corner with Brian Barrett and John Dinkins. Live from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on Las Casas Pike, the primetime sports team is joined by Middle Tennessee Christian School coaches to talk about their most recent games and upcoming opponents. It's time to talk Orange and White on FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at GoPrimetimeSports.com on Cougar Corner.
And indeed, it is Cougar Corner time, and John Dinkins here at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant with Coach Ed Ritchie, the bowling coach at MTCS. And Coach, football is now over, at least for at least a few weeks, and bowling kind of takes over in terms of the season. And I'm probably the worst person to probably be interviewing because if anybody's ever seen me bowl, it's not pretty. It's something, you know, I took in college and took a bowling course and was playing pretty well at that point. And then over the years, as age and arthritis and other things have kind of, and the old back has kind of gone out a few times, I've gotten to the bowling alley less and less. But it's really changed. It's a sport that has really changed over the years, and particularly in popularity. I can remember as a kid, and you probably can too, watching the old Pro Bowlers Tour on ABC and seeing it weekly and enjoyed those matches. It's really a fun sport to watch, and a lot of people, I don't think, realize that, but it's a great sport for television. But it's a really an exciting thing, and we're going to talk a little bit about your squad this year, and it's something that high school bowling has really taken off the last few years.
Yes, that's true, John. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today. This is true. It is said to be the fastest growing high school sport in the country.
If you go to a bowling alley and you go to the state tournament in bowling, you can hardly get in, can you?
I mean, it's true. In a sense, it's not a spectator sport. There's not much accommodation for spectators. They get crowded in there, and it can get pretty loud sometimes, especially in those state tournaments. But actually, anytime Smyrna's playing, it gets pretty loud too.
They Smyrna and Laverne, and it's a sport that you can throw out a lot of. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, physical attributes, because it's a skill sport. But you don't have to be 6'5", 250. You don't have to be a tall player. You know, it can be a kid that's, men and boys and girls alike. They can all contribute.
That's true. You see all shapes and sizes on the lanes there. And it's a good sport, especially for those guys and girls who don't want to be in a more active sport or for some reason can't be.
And so, can you put in it and look in perspective a little bit? You can learn this sport too, can't you? I mean, you can become better at, you don't, being athletically skilled, and again, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you can, it's a skill that you can improve in maybe more than any other sport. You know, you tennis, you've got to be quick and that kind of thing, but bowling is a little different animal.
That's true. And in a sense, it's strictly an individual sport. You can learn it and you can practice it entirely on your own. You don't have to be opposing anybody. You can get a lane and just bowl and bowl and bowl, and you can read up, or you can get an instructor to help you, of course. And
there is a team concept to it, but at the same time, you're playing yourself. And that makes it even more, I think, tantalizing for somebody to get in the sport.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have anybody to blame.
Exactly.
But it has taken off as a team concept, though, hasn't it? I mean, you know.
Yes, it has, at least here. This is my only experience with it, of course, but it's really grown, and we have 8 teams in our district locally. And
tell me about those teams, because it's different too in that respect too, isn't it? You've got tell me the teams in your district. You've got you guys, and who do you battle regularly?
We we were in the Division II when we began the bowling program, and so we bowled mainly the large private schools in the Nashville area. But now we're back in Division I, and so we bowl all the local guys. We got Siegel and Central, Blackman, Laverne, Smyrna.
I guess what I'm saying, you know, you're not playing Cascade, or you're not playing, you know, because a lot of these teams don't have bowling programs either. So you have to, in terms of size of school, you move up. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. There is no classification by enrollment for bowling. We're all in there together, and so we got to face all the big boys.
Tell us a little bit about your team this year and some standouts that you have that at BOA. And for those who don't know, and you may have to help me, explain a little bit to what's a good score, what's a bad score. What are you looking for in a bowler to score and be successful?
Okay. Of course, the perfect game is 300. And If you've got a 200 average, that's great. And we have one guy this year who's consistently averaged over 200, and possibly we'll have another one or two by the time the season's over. In fact, our top bowler, William Fraser, is he's carrying a 204 right now, and he's second in the district, second only to Ronnie Clarity of Smyrna. And Smyrna, of course, are the state champs repeatedly, last year being the last time. And they are good.
You know, we mentioned, and I was talking about it earlier, you know, is that an average now? 204 is his average over the course, but he can bowl. He could have a 280 game or anything's possible, right?
Anything is possible, yes. I'm scanning his scores here. It looks like 235 is the highest he's had this season. But he is capable. He's bowled almost 300. I think he's hit a 275 or more.
And I may have been a little remiss about training and that kind of thing. They do work on strength and getting stronger and that kind of thing, too. That plays a part in it as well, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but we don't emphasize that. We mainly get them out there and try to help them perfect their technique. And
it's all about technique, isn't it, really, a lot of it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's not, as a lot of people think, speed and strength so much. It's
how hard you throw it down the down the lane.
Right.
You were talking about William. Are there natural bowlers? I mean, do you just see people that just they're good bowlers? I mean, they might get out there and they just have the natural knack to begin with. Is that happen?
It does. It does. I'm thinking of a kid who came about 2 years ago. And he had bowled some, I guess, but he was a freshman. And he came up and he bowled a 180 in his first practice tryout game. And I thought,
kind of amazed.
Wow. I told him, I said, you set the bar pretty high for yourself. Well, sure enough, he fell down. But he came back up. He's got the talent there. Now, this William, he was in that same class. He's 11th grade this year. But as a ninth grader, he didn't make the cut. He was our manager, but he would go down after the matches. I'd see him on the lanes, and he was practicing. He was working and learning, and he got some instruction. And he's, as of last year, he made the team and was one of our top bowlers. And this year, he's obviously the top.
Ed Ritchie, our guest here on the Cougar Corner. If a kid wants to play, and can he get instruction? Does that come from people at the lanes, or there are people that can help him? I know you guys help, but are there other private people that can give him help as well?
Absolutely, at the lanes and the pro shops and so on. If you ask, you can find an instructor. Some of them I know are certified with the ABS, is it? I don't. The Bowling Association, anyway, and others I think maybe not, but they're all good, and they can help the kids.
You've got William, and I know you got to have some backup in there too. So go ahead. I kind of interrupt you a little bit there, but go ahead and mention a couple of other players there.
Okay. We've got Alan Wilson, who's next in the standings on our team, to William. And he's doing a great job as well. And then Levi Bogus, who's the son of my assistant coach this year, Eric Bogus. And then a couple of others, other starters, Samuel Short and Ian Harper are doing a good job for us. And then a newcomer this year. He's our only senior on the team, but... this is his first year to bowl for us, Joe Trauber, and he's coming right along.
In terms of Middle Tennessee Christian School and the program now, you've had this how many years now have y'all been bowling?
I believe I've counted up recently, and I think this is our 11th year.
And you all were kind of on the forefront as well. This isn't something new to you guys. You've been around with the league for quite a while.
Yes, we have. We came into it before TSSAA took it over, and the bowling centers were just organizing the league. And I think we had maybe a couple of years before TSSAA came in. And then at that point, we had a girls' team as well as a boys' team. And our girls, we were in Division II at that point. And our girls actually played in the first state bowling tournament. And then I haven't had a girls' team ever since. I couldn't get enough of them out. But I have a couple of girls on the team this year, actually.
Coach, let me ask you a little bit about that. How do you get people to sign up? Because it's not something that I guess kids are just naturally looking for, but some do. But... for instance, do you scout it, or how do you go about doing that? Just go in the hallways and say, hey, do you bowl?
Well, I generally try to have a meeting in the spring sometime of interested prospective bowlers, and to give them some information and try to get their interest piqued a little bit. I count on current bowlers to sort of talk it up among the others, and then in the fall we announce practice and tryouts, and we go from there. This year, the turnout was very slim, actually. We just barely got enough to make a team, actually.
The tryouts, are they held at the Murfreesboro Bowling Lane? Is that Smyrna?
We have Smyrna as our home bowling lanes at the present time. And
great facility, by the way.
Oh, it is. And they're so good to us. They're nice. They're student friendly. We like the people up there, and they like us.
And your season started what, around in middle of October? Or?
It started right at the end of September, actually, this year. That is the first legal bowling date was, I believe, the 26th of September. But since fall break for all of our schools, including us, sometimes we're not the same as the county, but this year we are, thank goodness. It fell the second week, and so the coaches just decided not to start our matches until the week after. So our first week of bowling was October 10th. And our first match was the 12th, actually.
And you've been playing, so how are we at this point in the season?
Well, we're not doing nearly as well as we would like to be. We have a 4-3 record at this point. We've just finished the first round. We have 8 teams in the district, and so we play each one twice. And so we have just finished playing our 7th match.
So 14-16 regular season matches before the playoffs, and see here the district tournament, of course, it's going to be held in Smyrna.
Yes.
And that's December 5th, right?
5th and 6th, uh-huh.
And you've been there, and you've seen the crowds. Were you amazed the first time that happened? And you know, Smyrna has been pretty dominant. Were you just amazed at the crowds? I mean, how much people really love to watch it.
Yes, definitely. So I think it's mainly parents and family probably, but doesn't take but a few for each bowler, you know, to
fill up a bowling alley, doesn't it?
Yes.
Do you wonder sometimes if there's a chance that they'll ever make it where people can actually sit in some stands and that kind of thing? Or,
you know, I don't know. There have been some years, and I haven't actually been to the state tournament in the last couple of years, but they put some bleachers mm-hmm. down along the wall at the end of the lanes. That's not very satisfactory, I'm sure.
That's just for overhang, I guess, the crowd.
Yes. Yeah. But if your team's bowling at the opposite end, you know, you can't watch them from there.
You've been pretty successful in this sport. How did you get into it? Before I let you go, how did you get involved in it?
Well, it's pretty simple. One day the principal asked me, said that the school had been invited to participate in this league with the bowling centers, and would I like to coach the team? And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, sure. I really
that simple.
Didn't have much experience in the sport myself. I'd always loved it when I was a kid, but having lived out of the country for 22 years, there wasn't much opportunity to bowl, and so I really hadn't gotten to bowl much in my lifetime, but I've really enjoyed it. I can't really give the guys any professional type instruction. I refer them, you know, and I say I'm more of a manager than a coach.
Organize the events and that makes sure everything, the schedule's right, and got to have somebody to do that, don't they?
Then you decide you look at the scores and you put the guys in the position that you think they'll do the best job and so
on. But the sport itself lends to that. It doesn't really lend for, you know, tremendous coaching, group coaching. It basically is an individual sport that you're molding into a team.
That's true. But occasionally, and the rules have changed over the last two or three years, we didn't used to be able to substitute within a game. We could substitute their three games in the match, of course, and you could change your lineup for each game. But now we can substitute in the middle of a game for any reason. It was specified for a time that it had to be for emergency or something like that. But now they said, you know, we can't judge that. And so
puts a little more pressure on the coach now.
But
it gives a good flexibility, though, for you, isn't it?
That's true. Uh-huh. We even have a space in the official score sheet to enter the sub's name and the frame when they enter, and that affects who gets the credit for the score eventually and so on. And so you have to watch and see if a guy is just really flubbing it up, you know, you put somebody else in and try to redeem that game.
Your next match is going to be when, Coach?
It'll be next Tuesday, I believe. Let's see.
Yes, yeah, there
Tuesday
you go.
The 8th. We face Smyrna. We just got creamed by them, and we have to face them again next Tuesday.
And what is Smyrna's secret, I guess? So they seem to be dominant in bowling, just been at it since the beginning, and you got
That's
a good
true.
Core group?
Yes. I think we can't ignore the fact that, you know, they've got the bowling center right there.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Convenient. They have had good coaches always, and who are usually associated with the bowling center. And they are just strong guys. They get lots of practice, and they get in the leagues. Now, that's a big factor there. That's when we started climbing up, is when our students started participating in the leagues.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't think about that. League play and get some, that's just practice. I mean,
it's practice, and they do get instruction there too.
Yeah.
And so that's really helped us in the last 2 years.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on this morning and talking a little bowling, and good luck. You're 4-3, and maybe that second round you'll increase those wins a little bit. But as always, we appreciate you being here on Cougar Corner.
Thanks, John.
All right. Ed Ritchie, the head bowling coach at Middle Tennessee Christian School, we thank him for coming in, and we'll try to catch him. I've got a feeling we're going to catch you probably again in January, Coach, so see how things went.
Okay.
All right. That's Ed Ritchie of the Middle Tennessee Christian School bowling team. And when we come back, Brian Baird will join me, and we'll wrap things up with some Cougar Corner scoreboard coming up as Cougar Corner continues from the Cedar Bucket Restaurants.